Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So last year, I did the same, I think about the same service. I don't think the Sunday was exactly the same date. It might have been the 28th or 29th. So it's a bit of a becoming a bit of a tradition that I get the 2 days or 3 days after Christmas, which is great. And so last year I spoke a little bit about not necessarily a New Year's resolution, but often at this time of the year we kind of reflect and we have a bit of a think about what's gone before and what's going ahead. And so I want to do something very similar today. And so I just want to cover two areas, which will just about cover everything. So I want to cover two areas quickly. The first area is about people and the second area is about God. So I think that'll just about cover everything this morning, and we'll do it in half an hour. So I'll probably try and keep to about 20 minutes if we can. So if we know the story of the people of Israel, and they were brought out of captivity, and with Moses, they ended up in the promised land 40 years later. And one of the things that we recognise as we read the scripture is that the 40-year trip from Egypt to the promised land was actually an 11-day journey. And so instead of taking 11 days, the people of Israel took 40 years. And there was a reason and a purpose behind that. But one of the things, or a couple of the things that were said in the Bible, is that the Israelites were a stiff-necked people, or they were stubborn. That's two of the things. They were stiff-necked or they were stubborn. And so I don't know whether you've ever seen anyone with a stiff neck before, but it's awfully awkward. And, you know, they go and try and you talk to them and they kind of turn around like this. And it's really quite a thing to have a stiff neck. Now, I've had a stiff neck a couple of times and it's really frustrating and annoying. But God said that the people of Israel were stiff-necked and they were stubborn. And that's part of the reason why it took 40 years instead of 11 days to go from Egypt into the promised land. And as we come into a new year, there are certain things that, you know, we all have, and, you know, what I cover this morning isn't necessarily going to be for everyone here, but there are certain things where we go, is it going to be another year the same? Are we going to allow the things that are a thorn in our side, or are we going to allow reasons that we're possibly stubborn, things that we've always dealt with, is it going to be another year? Are we going to make it the 38th year that we go through it? Could it be 39 years? Or is this a year ahead for change? And so I just want to lay that before you this morning, and we're just going to speak through some scriptures this morning, but it's time to make a change. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is getting along with people. And so in this life, one of the most common things that we will do, and one of the things we'll do nearly all the time, is we will rub shoulders with other people. And it's great rubbing shoulders with other people sometimes, and sometimes it's not great rubbing shoulders with other people. And whether that's difficult at home or at work or on the sporting field or wherever it is, there are some times that it's not easy to get along with people. And so the question that I ask this year is it going to be another year the same? Now, earlier this year, we had Nick spoke about loving one another, and Mike Bradshaw spoke on unity. And so this is a little bit of a reflection on what they had to say. And so I just want to go through a couple of scriptures quickly, and this may be pertinent to you, it may not be. But we all meet with people, and some people we get along really well with, and some people we don't get along as well with. And so the first scripture I want to bring forth is Matthew 5, verse 9. Now, all this is from the Amplified Version. So what does 2016 hold for you in the realm of getting along with people? So verse 9 says, blessed, spiritually calm, with life, joy in God's favour, are the makers and maintainers of peace. For they will express his character and be called the sons of God. So a couple of questions on this. Are you a maker and maintainer of peace? And do you express God's character at home? When there's no visitors around? When the kids are going off the handle? Are you an expresser of God's character? It's okay when someone comes and knocks on the door. But when no one's looking or can see from the outside, are you a maintainer of peace? Or do you like to press someone's buttons? Just see how much of a rise you can get out of them. Are you a maintainer of peace? So this year, 2016, I ask you that question. Are you a maintainer of peace? And do you express God's character? Second scripture is Romans 12, 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with some people. Hang on. Live at peace with most people. Live at peace with the ones that don't rub you up the wrong way. Oh no, hang on. Live at peace with everyone. Romans 12, 18. This is God speaking because he wrote the word of God. And it was inspired. And he says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, not anyone else, not dependent on what they've done to you or what they've said to you. It's not dependent on other circumstances. It says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How's 2016 looking in terms of this? Okay, let's go to Colossians 3, 12 and 13. I love this scripture. So as God's own chosen people, who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well beloved by God himself, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper, bearing graciously. And this is the key, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other. If one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. And there's been lots of messages on forgiveness. Is there anyone today, as you sit in your seats, that you need to forgive? Right back through life. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? See, you can't do it in your strength. You can only do it in God's. That's why he says here, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Because the element of forgiveness that you hold back from another is not going to be their problem. It's going to be your problem going forward. So is it going to be another year the same? Or going forward, Are we going to let it go? Just as the Lord has forgiven you. Remember, it only happens in His strength. And His word says that His strength is made perfect in your weakness or in my weakness. So what you don't have the ability to do in your strength, give it to God and He'll help you through. So Proverbs 19 verse 11 says, good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honour and glory to overlook a transgression or an offence without seeking revenge and harbouring resentment. See, you spend enough time with people and an offence is bound to occur at some point. And it's easy to take on the offence, but it's hard sometimes to let it go, to let it wash off. But it says, and it is his glory, to his honour and glory, to overlook a transgression or an offence. Another year the same, or something different coming up. Matthew 5, 23 to 24 says, so if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and while you remember that your brother has something such as a grievance or a legitimate complaint against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. First make peace with your brother, and then come and present your offering. Enough said on that one. I just want to finish on this one. Matthew 18, 15 from the Amplified again. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. Now, this is something that Nick shared a little bit about. And one of the things that I've noticed probably over the last 3 or 4 years as I sit and talk with people one-on-one is that they often, you know, you ask the question, how's life going? Well, I've got an issue with this person, they say. And I guess in the past, I've probably listened a little bit to what they've had to say, but this year I've turned over a new leaf. And the new leaf, when people come and talk to me about someone who that they have an issue with, is stop right there. Don't tell me the issue you've got with that person. I'm happy to give you advice on how to deal with it, but your job is to go to that person if you have an issue with them and talk to them. That's the number one thing that the Bible says. It says, if your brother sins or sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. Hang on, it says in private. That means between you and him or you and her, go and show him or her in private. Speak to them about that if you have an issue with them. But don't go and talk to other people about the issue that you have with them. Go and speak to them. And the Bible does go on to say, if it doesn't work out, go and seek a brother to help in that situation. But I'm not sure what you've done in the past or this year. But next year, when an offence comes, are you going to talk to someone else about the issue, or are you going to go and speak to the person you have the issue with? It's really important that we do this. And moving forward, getting along with people, all these things will help. This is God-breathed scripture. This is instruction for life to help us to love one another and to live in unity. So that's the first part. That's getting along with people. So the second part, if I had a title for it, it would be seeking God. And the scripture that I have is Hebrews 11 verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. And that scripture, the part of that scripture that I just want to highlight along today is that the part that says that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. In your walk with God, I want you to ask this question. Do you seek God or do you seek his reward? Just think about that for a minute. It says that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Is it God you seek or do you seek his reward? Because his reward may be a little bit different to what you think. His reward, you might think, is life going smoothly all the time. Maybe people think that that's his reward. So ask yourself the question today. Do you actually seek God or do you seek his reward? A couple of weeks ago, I took a trip to Sydney and had to get a connecting flight from Sydney to Dubbo. And I had to meet someone there at about 9:30 or 10 in the morning. And so I had to catch a flight from Avalon Airport way out the other side of the city, which means that my flight left at 6 a.m., so I had to be there at 5 a.m., and I had to get up at 3 a.m. in order to be there at 5 a.m. And so my father-in-law kindly agreed to take me out to the airport at those ridiculous hours of the morning. And so I got out there at 5 a.m., everything going beautifully and smoothly on time. Everything was just going wonderfully well. And so we got to the airport and I sat around, I had a coffee, and it was time for boarding. Now, my flight from Melbourne to Sydney left at 6 and was due in at about 20 past 7. My flight from Sydney to Dubbo was due to leave at about 8:15, and I needed to be boarding or have my boarding pass organised by 7:45. Now, I don't know, has anyone ever flown Jetstar here before? Yes, we've got some Jetstar flyers. You know where I'm going with this. And so, I don't know whether you remember a couple of weeks ago, this was on the Wednesday, that there were a number of storms in Sydney. And so the first call came over the PA system at about 6:15, I think it was, in the morning. And the first call was, we're sorry, but one of our crew members is late. You can't board the plane yet. And immediately I started to get edgy and started to look at my watch and think, man, if this is what's going to happen today, it's not looking good. So anyway, finally we got the call and I think we're on the plane by about 6:05 and we're sitting there and it got to 6:15. I'm thinking, well, someone get over the PA and tell us what is going on. Pilot, if you know what's going on, please let us know. I don't know whether you understand, but I've got to be in Sydney in about 1 hour and 15 minutes and no later. So anyway, sure enough, the pilot gets over the phone. Just thought we'd let you know, we're ready to go in 5 minutes. Sorry about the hold up. We'll be okay. So 5 minutes goes past and he comes over the PA, nice pilot. I'm thinking he's going to tell us we're ready to take off. And so here he goes and he says, we've just experienced some difficulties with our fueling and we're going to have to put some more fuel on the plane. So bear with us. We'll be ready to go in about 10 minutes. And just letting you know, there's some storms hanging around in Sydney and so we need the extra fuel so the plane can be ready to fly around a little bit in the air when you get to Sydney. I think, how long is that going to take? So I got to 6:30 and we're still sitting there and they said the plane's fuel will be ready to go in a couple of minutes. So finally, At 20 to 7, and I was very, very edgy, at 20 to 7, we were ready to fly, and so we taxied out on the runway, and we... anyway, it was a good flight into Sydney, a little bit of turbulence coming in, and they mentioned about the storms as we came in. So I was due to be in the lounge of the, I think it's the Rex terminal for the smaller planes. I was due to be in that lounge by, I think, no later than 20 to 8. And so we landed at 10 to 8. And so I've never run so fast in an airport terminal. I reckon I ran faster than that plane got from Melbourne to Sydney, I tell you. And so I ran to the Rex terminal and I went straight to the terminal, and then there was a nice man there, and I said to him, how am I going to go getting on this plane? And he said, you're meant to board 10 minutes ago, you know, and so you're probably not going to get on this plane. And I said, you're a nice man. I said, can you please try and get me on the plane? He said, I'll call the pilot and I'll see what he says. I don't know whether you've ever been on a plane before, but anyway, I won't say anything about the males in the airline industry. So he called the pilot, and the pilot was a good bloke, and he said I could get on the plane. So I was due to be there at 2:15, and so I got on the bus to taxi out to the airport at about 8:02, and they'd held things back about 10 minutes for me. So I was pretty lucky to get on the plane, and I got on the plane. And as we got in the air, they said there's going to be a bit of turbulence, but we got through to Dubbo and we got through on time. Now I got to Dubbo, and I looked at all the flights that were coming from Sydney, and every one of the flights that were coming from Sydney, there'd been some sort of hold up in Melbourne because of the weather. And every single flight had been delayed by about 2 or 3 hours. And in the end, they'd all been cancelled. I think we were one of the only flights that day to come into Dubbo from Sydney. But as I was sitting on the plane, this scripture came into my head, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And here am I philosophising on the plane to myself, saying, I've been rewarded getting there on time because I seek God. And then God had a conversation with me. And God said to me, you haven't been rewarded by getting to Dubbo on time. And all the time on the plane, even in my angst from Sydney, from Melbourne to Sydney and then Sydney to Dubbo, God's saying, you know what? No matter what, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And all the time I'm thinking, geez, I hope I get it. And so I get to Dubbo, and he clearly said to me, you know what, Chris? Even if that plane hadn't left the ground in Melbourne, it was still going to be okay. See, the reward, and it's something that Graham mentioned on Friday when he talked about peace. The reward isn't that you've got to get where you're going. Your reward is the peace and the contentment that you have no matter what happens in the circumstance. That's the reward that God gives. And so, in 2015 or 14 or 13 or 1970 or, you know, in Pastor Oxley's case, 1929 or whatever, 1920, there's been conflict or there's been things that haven't gone right. But the reward for those who seek God is that knowing that God is in control and that you can trust him no matter what is going on in your life. Because life is not just about the here and now. Life is about eternity. And God is doing something in you that is so impertinent to you that he's not doing in someone else. And so I want to encourage you today to seek God with all your heart, because he will reward you with peace and contentment and give you the tools to get through things in life that you look out in the world that the people haven't got those tools to get through in life. And he will reward you like you've never known. And it's not so things will go smoothly. But I can't remember the exact saying, but it's the peace amidst the conflict, or a peace amidst the all that's going on that isn't great, that God will bring to you. So I ask you today, do you seek God or do you seek the reward? Seek God and the reward will come. And we know there's other scriptures. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, then with a deep longing you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 105:4 says, seek and deeply long for the Lord and his mighty strength, his power, his might. Seek and deeply long for his face and his presence continually. If I could have the worship team up, and if we could distribute the elements right now as they come round. So I want to ask you, what does 2016 hold for you? Is it another year the same with getting along or not getting along with people? Or are you going to say, God, I need you in my weakness, at home, in my workplace, on the sporting field, in the queue at Safeway, or at Aldi, or in the car park, or on the road? God, I need you in those times. What does 2016 hold? Is there someone that you need to go back to and say, you know what, I want to deal with this and I want to put it behind me and I want you to put it behind you and let's move on? Now, you can't control others, but you can control your own circumstance with God's help. What does 2016 hold with your relationship with God? Is it dependent on what happens specifically? Or is it dependent on you seeking him and no matter what happens, you seek him? And I know we all have difficult circumstances in life and not everyone's the same, and there's no point comparing. But as we come round the communion table this morning, I thank God that he sent his son Jesus, who no matter what the circumstances, he paid the price. His body and his blood, which was shed for us, and his body broken for us. At any moment, he could have pulled out, but he didn't. And he listened to God, and he only did what his father told him to do. And we sit here today for that reason, because Christ went to the cross and he holds the key not only to our lives, but outside the walls of this building and outside we see conflict in this earth today. We see conflict in families. We see conflict. We see brokenness. And he is the only answer. We hold the key in our hands this morning. It's his body and his blood And in 2016, I want to challenge you to go deeper in God. To go deeper in the things of Him. To seek Him. Seek Him for things that you can't mark on a page. That you can't say, well, I've sought God and He's given me this. I've sought God and He's given me this. And those things will come. But seek God for what He wants to give you. And He does. He says that He'll give us the desires of our heart. And as we finish this year, this is the last service in this church that we'll have in 2015. If you see anything that I've spoken about this morning and say, I'd love to see that changed, well, seek God for it. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Do it in His strength. Say, God, I need Your help. God, I need Your help with this person. You died for this reason. I need Your help. So instead of relying on your own strength, rely on His. So as we stand, if I can get everyone to stand, please, right now. As we stand together, let's not take lightly what God has done for us. Take the challenge of the end of 2015. Seek God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and you never know what reward will come. Because the reward for me may not be what He rewards you with. It could be different. But we know by what we read about God that whatever it is, it's going to be good, because God is good. God, we just thank You for Your body. As we hold it in our hands, we thank You that it was broken for us. And at the end of this year, for the last time that we join together in this church, we just want to give You thanks. And we take and we eat it. And we thank You that it was broken for us. So let's eat together. As we take the cup, God, we thank You for Your blood that was shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, no matter what we've done, that it washes them away. And You remember them as far as the east is from the west. You remember them no more. God, we thank You that You washed us clean. And Lord, I pray that as we take the cup, we just never forget what You've done for us. And the challenges that come our way, we remember them and we say, God, in Your strength, we move forward. We remember Your blood and we thank You for it. So let's take the cup together and drink. Give You thanks for this day. We just give You thanks for what You have done in our lives. And I pray that as we move into the next year, the Lord, that we would seek a new challenge. We would seek to go deeper with You. Lord, that we would seek You because You are a rewarder of those who seek You. So Lord, help us in every way. We just give You thanks for today, as we lift Your name up in Jesus' name.